Christ. The one who reigns forever is here, gathered in our midst this morning, and he greets you with these words, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, through the mighty and transforming work of the Holy Spirit." We welcome all of you to worship this morning at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church, whether you are a member or whether you're a visitor. We're so glad that you have joined us in worship this morning. And perhaps if you are in town because you are a delegate to the annual synod of the Christian Reformed Church, we're so glad that you've joined us in worship this morning. We're glad to have you here. We also extend a welcome this morning to Pastor Sean England, who will preach for us this morning. Sean's been a regular LaGrave attender. He's a commissioned pastor in the CRC, a fellow commissioned pastor. And he also works with Celebration Fellowship Church in Ionia in the prisons there. And so, Sean, thanks for being with us this morning. We invite everyone to a time of coffee and conversation after the service in the multi-purpose room. Just head straight through the narthex, down the hall, and it's on your right-hand side. And if you live in District 5, that geographic region, there's a special coffee time for you in the parlor this morning. That's down the hall and then to your left. And we also invite you back tonight for evening worship at 6. We will celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, and so we invite you to come and to be fed at the Lord's table tonight. It's a privilege this morning to welcome a few new members to the church. I'm going to ask Mark and Judy Milan to stand first, if you'd rise. Thank you. They were first introduced to LaGrave by our live stream during COVID. And they moved to Grand Rapids from Peoria, Illinois, and now split their time between Grand Rapids and the UP. They are mostly retired from a lifelong ministry with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And together they enjoy creation care, watching wildlife, gardening, card making, reading, and also singing hymns. Mark and Judy, we're glad you've chosen to make LaGrave your church home. Welcome. And we also extend a welcome to Isaac Herr. Isaac, if you would stand. Isaac is a Calvin student who is studying computer science. Although he was born in the U.S., he spent much of his life in Korea and was raised there. He moved back to the U.S. in 2022 with his older sister and brother-in-law, who are members here at LaGrave. Enjoys doing puzzles with friends. And looks forward to his time here at LaGrave, learning more about what the Christian life looks like in the U.S., which is different than Korea, and opportunities to grow his faith. Isaac, for you too, we're glad you've chosen LaGrave as your church home. Welcome. This morning, we are called into our time of confession with words from Romans 6. Paul writes these words to the church at Rome, but he also writes them to us. He says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." Knowing that we fall short of that standard that God has called us to, we come to God in a time of confession, and we begin our prayer in song. That is our prayer, Lord, that you would redeem our waywardness, the times we have done when what we should not have done, and the times when we have not done the things we should have done. Have mercy upon us, O God, and cleanse us from our sins. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. We continue to hear words from Romans 6, words that offer us good news, words of forgiveness. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Thanks be to God that we are forgiven. Before we go to God in prayer this morning, we have a few additional announcements that are in addition to what's already printed in the bulletin. First of all, Ron Shoemaker was able to return home from the hospital, and so he is recovering at home. Also, Shar Joustra will have spinal fusion surgery tomorrow morning for her back. And then we extend our congratulations to one of our administrative assistants in the office, Lindsay Van Dyke, to her and her husband, Drew, in the birth of their second son, Rowan Tice Van Dyke, who was born on Thursday. We will be insisted in prayer this morning with words from Psalm 145. That response is printed in the order of worship. I invite you to listen for those words that I will pray occasionally throughout the prayer and then respond with me with those words that are in bold. Let us pray. Our God and our King, we come to you this morning to praise and exalt your name, for you are great and most worthy of praise. As your people, we tell of your mighty acts, we speak of your glorious splendor, we meditate on your wonderful works, and we tell of your power, including the fact that you, Lord, are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Father, your word also reminds us that you uphold all who fall and lift up those who are bowed down. So we bring before you those who have been experiencing struggles in their lives. Father, we pray for continued recovery for Mary Lou Reefer after her back surgery and for Bill Stroh after his fall and now adjustment to assisted living. Father, we pray that you would be with those who are grieving, the Pater family and the death of Ray, and the Vander Ark family and the death of Lori. Father, give them the reminder of your tremendous gift of eternal life. We pray that you would go before Shar Joustra as she has surgery tomorrow for her back. We pray for a successful surgery that will relieve the pain she has been experiencing. And we pray too for Renee Kuiper as she anticipates surgery for her cancer. Father, we pray in advance that surgery would be a success. We continue to pray for Ron Shoemaker. We give you thanks that he has returned home, but we also pray for renewed strength for him. And Father, we pray for those names that have been in our fishbowl this past year, those who don't know Jesus as Savior, those who are wandering in their faith, those who have left the Christian faith. Father, we pray that your Spirit would work mightily in their lives. Lord our God, we pray that you would meet the needs of all these people. For you, Lord, are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Father, we also have reasons this morning to celebrate your abundant goodness and to joyfully sing of your righteousness. We give you thanks for the new addition to the family of Lindsay and Drew Van Dyke and their birth of their son, Rowan. Father, bless them now as a family of four. We thank you for Jean Reinstra's good results and pray that you would continue to be with her as she recovers. And we thank you too, Father, for the marriage of Olivia Alkenbrack and Derek Gritters. May you be at the center of their marriage. Father, we thank you for your mercies that were new this morning as we got up, and for your faithfulness that will be evident tonight as we look back upon this day. We thank you for beautiful sunrises and sunsets, for the rain you send, for the power displayed in the storms this past week, and for the wide variety of trees and plants that we see this summer season. Father, we give you thanks for all these examples of your faithfulness. For you, Lord, are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. God of all creation, we also lift before you these needs for intercession. We think of the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, and we plead for peace, a lasting peace that will last, for wisdom and humility for leaders of all nations that are involved, and for freedom for Christians in all places, but especially for the growing population of Christians in Iran. We pray for peace as well where there is unrest and instability in other areas of the world, Ukraine, Sudan, Cuba, and other countries. We pray, Father, for those who seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus in difficult places, places upset by war, places where there isn't access to clean water, places where there have been natural disasters. Father, bless the work of World Vision, World Renew, and Samaritan's Purse. And we pray that you would bless the work of organizations in our own neighborhood, like Degage and Mel Trotter, as well as the work of our own Kristen Batts, as we seek to meet not only the physical needs, but also the emotional and spiritual needs of our homeless neighbors. Father, we lift before you as well Ed Boss, our missionary who works with Worldwide Lab Improvements. We pray that you will grant wisdom to that organization for the future. And we lift before you our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, especially for Synod as it continues to meet. Lord our God, grant wisdom, insight, and humility to all staff and delegates. And may your Spirit be the leader of all that we do as a denomination, so that renewal may come to ministries, to congregations, and in the lives of us, your people. We lift all these needs before you, for you, Lord, are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Merciful Father, we are reminded in your word that you are near to all who call on you, to all who call on you in truth. So thank you for being near to us during this time of prayer and for hearing our cries. We ask it all in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Should I cling to give to give? Sacrifice for God.
Kids, come on down for the children's message. Come and join me down front. I have a few things to show you this morning. So come, have a seat. Good morning. Good morning. Got some people coming from the balcony. Lots of people from the balcony. There they come. Good morning. Glad to have you here. Good morning. I see a few more coming yet, making their way down the steps. We'll wait for them. I don't want to show you what the things I have to show you till they're here too. There they come. Down they come. Good morning. All right. In my bag here, I have some pencils. This one, get it out. This one is bright green. This one, is black. This one, and get them all out, maybe faster. This one is kind of short, it's yellow, it says Ticonderoga on it. This one, orange, and this one has little ghosts on it, I don't know if you can see that, and they say, boo, it's a Halloween pencil. This one is red, and it's got hearts and X's on it. That one's for Valentine's Day. And then I've also got a bright pink one. Now, all of these pencils are different. Some of them are sharper than others. Some of them are longer than others. However, if you look at them carefully, they all have something in common. Look carefully. If I hold them up, what do they all have in common? Does anyone see what they all have in common? What do they have in common? Yeah. They don't have any erasers. All of the erasers are gone. Yep, all of the erasers are gone. That means these pencils have been used for a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. They have erased and erased and erased. Now, when we make mistakes in life, not just with writing with our pencil, but when we make mistakes in life, and when we make mistakes that when we do things that God doesn't want us to do, in the Bible, God has a word for that. Does anyone know what that word is when we make mistakes? What he calls that? It starts with an S. Anyone know what that means? What? It's sin. Exactly, okay? When we do something he doesn't want us to do, it's sin. Now, the Bible also tells us, though, that when we sin, if we confess our sins, if we say we're sorry to God, he will forgive our sins. Yep, if we say we're sorry, he will forgive us for our sins. The Bible says he will cleanse us from our sins. That's sort of like what happens with what could happen with this pencil. Because this pencil on the top has what? An eraser. Exactly. This one has an eraser. So if I make a mistake when I'm writing, I can erase it. When we say we're sorry to God, he does that with our sins too. Yep, he erases our sins. He washes them away. But it's a little bit different than this eraser, because with this eraser, if I make a lot of mistakes and I keep using it, what's going to happen to this eraser? Exactly. It's going to look like this one, right? The eraser is going to go away. But here's the good news. With God, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love, his grace never runs out. It's never like either of these pencils, even the one that doesn't have the eraser and the one that does, because with him, it never wears out. This eraser is going to go down, but God's mercy and love never goes away. We're weak, but he is strong. Now, there's a song that talks about that that I think some of you probably know. Yep, exactly. We're going to sing that, and I think some of you know it. And you know what? I think the big people out there, I think they know it too, so I think they can sing along with us, okay? We're going to sing this reminder of how much Jesus loves us, okay? Jesus loves me, this I know.
Oh,
I want you to remember that, okay? Even though we make mistakes, we sin, we can ask God to forgive us, and he has enough mercy and love to always forgive us, okay? Remember that. Congregation, what is our prayer for these children? Go in peace.
Good morning. I would like you all to keep that in mind as we read this scripture, because it can be a hard one. We're reading today from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 26 to 31, and that's on page 1872 of your pew Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is the word of the Lord. That can be hard to hear. Every time I hear it, I can't help but think of C.S. Lewis and his Chronicles of Narnia. You know, he creates this world of Narnia that is just beautiful. It's magical, talking animals, very distinct good and evil. Into this world stumbles a little human girl, Lucy, and she meets Mr. Beaver and the fawn, Mr. Tumnus. And when she finds out that the world is ruled by Aslan the lion, who is how C.S. Lewis kind of sees Jesus in this magical world, she asks Mr. Beaver, "Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver looks at her and says, "Safe? No, he's not safe, but he is good." Because Aslan's not a tame lion, and our God is not a tame God. Often we read the Bible and we have this picture of Jesus, which is true, of a shepherd, of someone who loves us deeply, who's strong for us and cares for us. But he is not safe. He is good, but he is not safe, because his goodness surpasses ours. His goodness requires everything that you have. Hebrews is an interesting book because it's kind of a sermon. It was written to the early Jewish Christians who were facing persecution in the Roman world. Rome allowed the Jewish people to kind of exercise their religion outside of the norm because they respected things of antiquity. They respected tradition and history, and the Jews had a very long line of tradition and antiquity. By the time the book of Hebrews was written, the Christians had kind of separated themselves out of the Jewish culture. They were no longer just a sect of the Jews. They were a distinct people. The Romans didn't care about new religion. So these Jewish Christians found themselves persecuted. They found themselves paying taxes, not fitting into the culture. We all know the image of the lions. The Christians being sent to the arena. This was their reality. And it must have begun to feel to them like it would be safer and easier just to go back to the old ways, where nothing was really required of them. There was no change. They didn't have to live a certain way. They just had to let the priest handle it. They had the laws of Moses. The Jews weren't getting persecuted. Obviously, God was taking care of them. So that's what they wanted to do. They wanted a softened and more manageable way of living, a God that did not demand too much of them. They wanted a culture they could live in safely, securely. Their success in life was judged by how easily they lived. They were tempted to go back to that safer, older, more familiar model of life. But that's not what God demanded of them. Because once you have accepted Christ, once you have drank from his cup, your life has changed. You're no longer the same person. You can't just go back. If you read the commentaries, they call this the apostasy. And in the Reformed tradition, there's always a question, is apostasy possible? If you're regenerated, can you even turn away? Hebrews seems to think that you can. And it doesn't have to be the type of obvious turning away that we're talking about here with the early Jewish Christians. Because we all have a tendency to avert our eyes sometimes when we know what is right because the Spirit is dwelling within us, telling us how to behave. But instead, we take the easy path. See, we want a God who comforts us, but doesn't confront us. And when we see something that isn't right, often we'll keep our mouths shut. Maybe you're at work, and you're listening to the people you work with say things about ways of being in the world that you don't agree with. But instead of addressing them, instead of standing up for what you know is right, you take the easy path. You accommodate culture. I don't know if that's trampling the Son of God. I don't know if that's insulting the blood that sanctifies us. But I do know that we're insulting the Spirit that dwells within us when we do this. If we ignore the Spirit, we're insulting the Spirit. Sometimes it's as easy as scrolling through your phone instead of dealing with somebody who needs you. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen somebody who just isn't paying attention to the world around them because their face is buried in their holy phone. They care more about likes and their feed than they do about the Word that has sanctified them and made them new. And that's a hard thing to bear. It's a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing to accept. That turning your eyes away changes the way you live in the world. Because God is not safe. He doesn't allow you to turn your eyes away. He asks you to suffer for his sake. He is good in a way that we are not good. The early Christians thought that the way of Christianity was becoming more and more difficult and they couldn't do it. But see, immediately after this verse, we get the joy that comes of learning that we don't do this alone. That there's a great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, that cheers us on, that sustains us. We have both the invisible and the visible church to walk with us and be with us in the world. We don't do this alone. They didn't do this alone. They had a church that sustained them in their struggle. God didn't promise them fire and blood just to scare them. He wanted to correct them because God corrects us. God makes us whole in a way that we cannot make ourselves whole as we walk through the world. In the times when you are struggling with a decision and a choice, you don't make it alone because Christ is there in you. The Spirit that dwells within you has been given as a gift. You see it all over the world if you don't avert your eyes. You see it here in your community. I come to this church because I see things from this church that I don't see elsewhere. I see an interest in the world around them. You live in a place where homeless people are prevalent everywhere you look. It's shocking sometimes. And so many churches just turn their eyes away. They ignore the needs of those around them. But you guys voted almost unanimously to use this building next door for the good of the community. That's the Spirit working in this church. We have a beautiful place to worship, but we don't domesticate God here. We allow God to come in and change us, to make us into the servants He wants us to be. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because you don't get to make the choices anymore. You don't get to do what's safe, what's comfortable, what's easy, because the living God confronts you. And like Aslan, He changes you. He changes you into something you didn't think you could be, a king and a queen in His kingdom. This is the promise that we are given in the book of Hebrews, that we don't do this ourselves, that God does this to us. Jesus gave us the once and for all sacrifice. There's no turning back from that. There's nothing else you can do, nothing else you need to do, except allow Him to change you. Allow Him to make you into something new and beautiful. The you that you were always meant to be. C.S. Lewis always called that the you-iest you. And I love that. In Christ, you get to be the you-iest you, the true you, unburdened by the sins of this world. Accept Jesus as your Lord, as the lion that rules your life, and you'll be changed. There's no despair in this chapter. The fear is for those who think they can turn away, and we can't, because we're changed, because we're renewed, because we're the people that God wants us to be. This is a scary chapter. This is a scary warning. But only if you decide that you want to be the one in control. If you let God be in control, there's nothing to fear here. This is a strange chapter to choose in a sermon series on wisdom. But ultimately, isn't wisdom knowing that you are not the one in charge? That you are not the one who gets to say what is right and what is wrong? God knows what is good, because He's not safe, but He is good. He sustains us in our troubles. And he's given all of us, each of us, communally and together, His Spirit and His body. He's given us each other to support and sustain, to encourage. And this is a wonderful gift, because there's no turning back. Amen. receive this blessing. May the love of Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace and forgiveness of God our Father live and abide in you always. Amen.
Thank you.